everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. No, it's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and the Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the first of our Shocktober wrap-up episodes of Who Would Win Masters. Today, we're getting real spooky, and that's because we're reading your comments and reviews so scary. I am Sam Proof on all the socials, and we're talking about a holiday clash between Sam Haim and the one and only Leprechaun. As always, joining me in the virtual studio, Ed Waring. I can't even describe this. This is stained glass meets Stranger Things on the shirt. This is Ray Stakanis. Ray, how's it going?
Oh, we're doing great today. This is my Cthulhu shirt.
I was close.
It's Halloween. I've been, you know, I got my David S. Pumpkins shirt ready to go, but we got some Halloween going. We're just trying to wear whatever spooky things I can find.
Nice. That's a good. Of all the shirts, that's the one I like the best.
Thank you. It's one of my favorites as well. You know, those sponsored Facebook ads really understand me.
All right. And of course, if you're out there, you can always join us live for these wrap-up episodes if you are a member of our Patreon. So sign up and join us on patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and look for those announcements. I know it is a Monday this time, so I think we're going to be a little on our own, left to our own devices.
That's right. We put a thing up in the chat of the Patreon, but it's also like the evening of Monday before we post this in like an hour. So, you know, as soon as we get done, this is going straight to the air. And if any of the patrons are around or they want to show up on a Monday night, I say we're here for them. If you yourself enjoy the show and would like to come be a part of it, live in studio, as we say, you are by far welcome to join patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Even the $1 members have access to the links that get you in the studio. So come on and join us.
Love it.
You know, we'll do it by ourselves, but it's a lot more fun when y'all come and join us. I'll say that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Should we just get straight into the reviews?
Let's do it. We got two this week. I'm very excited about that. Sam, I believe you read the first one.
Yeah, I'll kick it off. The notes just say Keck, bunch of letters. So I assume
it's
this
a bunch
was a
of
very,
letters. Yeah, that's
yeah,
it was
a really
it's
long
K-E-K-E-N-D,
screen
name. J-S-M-D-M-K-S-K-D-J-K-D.
You're just invalidated the need to write bunch of letters by actually reading all the letters. All right. This says,
well, you know what? I decided in the moment I called an audible.
3 points. All right. This says, battle suggestion. We need the Tick versus Captain Underplant. Captain Underpants, please. First off, there is more to this. I'm a huge Tick fan.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know that I could be not biased against that. But also, he's nigh invulnerable. Is Captain Underpants nigh invulnerable? I don't even know.
He might be nigh invulnerable. I don't know enough about the character, but I do believe this is a good matchup.
Potentially. I mean, there is, I think, Underpants in both comics. The rest of this says, or Angel from the Buffyverse versus Aiden from Being Human. Also a big fan of Angel. So you're speaking my language, Keck, bunch of letters.
Sounds good to me. Look, I know I've heard of Angel. That's the guy from Bones, if I remember this correctly. And I'm showing my age referencing him in that way.
Wow.
And I've never seen Being Human, but I bet it's a good show.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that. I think I may have watched one episode of that, and I just wasn't into it. All right. What's next?
That's fair. Well, here we got a second one here. The second one is from Mr. Squirrel 2099, writing us from the future, apparently.
Ooh.
He says, I don't normally do reviews, but I needed to give this show a 5-star review. I would also love to see / hear a matchup with Arkham Batman versus Insomniac Spider-Man. Would love to see a video game character versus video game character. Thanks for all the great episodes. Oh, and by the way, # Ray is right. You're right. I am right.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Thank all you, right. Mr. Squirrel 2099. Look, well, the very first episode I believe we did was movie Batman versus movie Daredevil. Maybe video game Batman versus video game Spider-Man would be a good matchup for next season.
All right.
I don't know. It's not a bad idea.
I have my guess how that's going to go. I'm not specifically familiar with that Insomniac Spider-Man, but I have guesses. All right, I'll save it.
I played all four Arkham Origins. I played all four of the Arkham games with Batman, and I have played only the first Insomniac Spider-Man, but it's very, very good. And I think that's a pretty good matchup too. I normally detest the matchups that people are doing here, but in this case, that's two in a row that were very good. Give me no more matchups, people. You did it. We can get out unscathed.
We got it. All right. Moving on. I think it is time for the big reveal. First of our October matchups.
Absolutely.
Drum roll, please, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. Hold on one sec. Here we go.
With 86% of the vote, it is Ray with Leprechaun, which is,
that's a
big win.
I kind of wanted 100% on that one, but I'll take the 80, I guess.
I'm
86?
Like, obviously, this is, the way I voted, but I do remember this being a very close match. I'm actually shocked that the numbers are that skewed. 14% for Sam Haim from AJ. I mean, of course, I feel validated in being right yet again. So there's that.
This is like 12 in a row. What is happening right now?
Is it? Yeah. Is
people,
that
you get Sam's going to get too big ahead. You got to reverse one of Sam's decisions just to bring him back down to earth. He's floating away.
I'm going to start robbing banks, I think. Is that
it's time.
A good idea now?
The only thing that kept Sam Proof from giving the wrong decision was prison. Picturing the true crime documentary now.
Yeah, well, I can start a whole new podcast. It'll be my own true crime podcast.
That's right. Let me tell you what I did next.
Yeah, fantastic. This is actual screams from the bank robbery. I just had my phone on record the whole time.
That's right. You know,
it's not Foley.
It helps to remember the details when you record the whole thing on your phone.
All right.
That's my belief.
Any last thoughts on that? Okay. All right. Want to move on? You don't want to gloat about your epic win here?
No, I should.
Yeah.
AJ cannot be here today, unfortunately. You know, he is with his family at a very popular theme park in the southeastern part of the United States that potentially involves a rodent of some kind. And I could say right now, I think I'd rather be there than doing a podcast. So I think AJ in the end wins this in the end. He did reach out to me, or I reached out to him and he responded because he's a G. Love me some AJ Porfirio. And what he said was, he's very grateful to be a part of the show. He was very excited to come on and battle. He wants people to go watch the Trick or Treat movie this Halloween season, if they have not already. And honestly, if you haven't seen that movie, you probably should. It's kind of a classic, a modern classic of Halloween movies. It's a good anthology series with a lot of star power in it. It's very good. And if you haven't played the Final Girl board game, I did do a big pitch for it at the end of the episode last. I really feel that from my heart. The newest feature film, A Rotten Harvest, based loosely on kind of Children of the Corn meets Pumpkinhead, those are two movies that are very, very good. And I love the game. If you haven't played it, it's a solo board game. You can play by yourself. You don't even need friends. I think that's why I like it so much.
Can you actually play with multiple people? Is it only a solo play?
I sometimes, you know what, when I'm introducing other people to the game, I'll do the mechanics of the board and play as the killer, okay. But it's all mechanical. You don't actually make decisions. The game will tell you what to do.
Kind of like Zombicide will do. Yeah. Okay.
A bit like Zombicide. Yeah. As if you had one person playing the zombies.
Right. Yeah. All right.
But it is, at its core, it is a solo game.
Nice. All right. So let's get into some comments. You want to take this first one?
Let's do it. Yeah, we got a few here. I love to see it. We're pulling them from Facebook, and we're pulling them from Patreon today. No Instagram comments. I posted a lot of videos over the week, but we got a lot of likes and a lot of views on YouTube and on the Instagrams, but regrettably, no comments. The people they were so shocked by what they saw. They just had no commentary with which to speak. And you know what? That's okay, too. That's okay, too. I could be like some other shows and just make up names and make up comments, but I don't think that that's great. I will say here, I take that back. There was a video that we haven't talked about in the last 2 weeks from when I talked about playing Clair Obscur Expedition 33, and predictably, people got all mad that I fell off that game, and I got a bunch of comments. All that one video got all the comments for the time. So here we go. C says, don't let this guy tell you about Legend of Dragoon, lol. Skill issue isn't an excuse anymore when you have easy mode, dude. While it is a valid reason not to like it, it has been shown that you do not need to engage in the parry mechanic at all to beat the game. Another person, I would highly recommend playing it on the easiest difficulty. This other person got frustrated by lag messing up his timing with the parrying and dodging and set it to easy and ended up loving the game. And then finally, my favorite comment came from Justin Gabriel, 1765, who said, I mean, what's sad is that simply saying something isn't for you and then you give a good reason why, people will come for you anyway. And that's the reality of the internet, ladies and gentlemen. So that's my Expedition 33 Clair Obscur. I haven't played it since then. The combat did not bring me joy. And so I kind of fell off and I want to play other things now. That's life. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, the comments from Facebook and our Patreon about the actual show that we're doing, I guess we should do those. Right. I'll start us off here. Our first one is going to be from Cole Von Rosenberg, who says, this is honestly a really tough call. I don't know how one permanently puts down the other. I think they fight forever, with Sam having more of an advantage when it's near Halloween and Leprechaun having a stronger edge when it's closer to St. Patrick's Day. That is an interesting take. I do see a situation where these two can't get over on each other, and so they have to just agree to disagree and move along. Definitely, we don't do draws in the show, but I could see that possibility.
Sure. And I mean, I think what we agreed on for this was some kind of incapacitation, final ruling.
Yeah, the transmutation, I think, is the one thing Leprechaun can do that Sam cannot.
Right. Yeah, this is a battle of eternity or until they get bored with it. All right. Ken Bjorn Turner says, Sam Haim is a demon with a singular focus for its power. The Leprechaun is a fey who has a focus but can use its power anywhere and any way it sees fit. And I think that does give some insight onto the last comment, I think. Yeah,
I think
agree
so.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Max the Man 1001, one of our favorite people, he says, I'll be in the minority and say that Sam wins.
Finally, stalemate
at many points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Sam can create an army while the Leprechaun cannot. That's true. Also, given infinite time, it is more likely for the Leprechaun to run into one of his weaknesses rather than Sam. That was a good point that AJ brought up. Well, because Sam has no weaknesses. I don't believe that an ancient demon that acts as a force of nature can be transmutated, but great battle, though. Yeah, fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Like, it really does all come down to that one thing. So if there was, you know, a way to rule that out, then that would have completely turned this on its head. Or its tail? I don't know. All right. Lord Moxford turned it on his pumpkin. Jacks its lantern. Wait, that doesn't... PG-13. All right. Lord Moxford says, Ray won this with Triangle Man. Wait, I mean, Universe Man, sorry, wrong show. Ray won this with the Leprechaun. I do love Mia Good. That's they might right. be Giants reference. The characters are very similar, but Ray's point about transmutation took this battle. AJ's point, I didn't feel were strong enough to defeat the Leprechaun. Congratulations to Ray on his first Shocktober win. Also, love the Sam's Decision song. Has some that? Monday Night Football, his sitcom theme song, and ska vibes. This is almost word for word what I said to Ray when he presented me with this song. I was like, he gave me some choices, and I was like, this one because of these things. And it was almost those exactly. Sam, do you have an affinity for root vegetables? As the tale of the tape has been sponsored by both the National Rutabaga Association and American Turnip Federation. No, we go where the money is.
That's right.
I am a whore for root vegetables. Is that,
there is a there's big money in big veg. I'm just going to be honest with you. They back up the dump truck of lettuce, if you will, and we will take it every single time.
Yeah, big can't fan. Beat no, a we, beat. Is that what's that mean?
That's right. You can't beat a beat. That's I think the next. You know, if you're that's hearing right. me, American Beat Council, the ABC as we call them, you got to hit us up with this. We got a slogan for you and everything. We'll see what happens.
Here we go.
Lord Snurts, back-to-back Lords, here we go. Lord Snurts says, little to no knowledge of both combatants, but I flipped a coin for this one, and oddly enough, the Leprechaun won. Ray there took advantage of having the last word, and it convinced me he was right. See, I was right to feel a little bit bad about taking the winning the battle in my final thoughts, as opposed to using that to wrap stuff up. I'm glad I gave AJ a chance to defend himself, which obviously was not enough in this particular.
I do have to say, though, I think he should have rolled a dice because clearly Leprechaun controls coins, so he would have had his fey abilities involved here. So, Snurts, I don't
point.
Know
if I mean, the Leprechaun
a legit flip.
Yeah. Leprechaun controlled the coin, so there it is.
Yeah. All right.
Give Tom him back his gold, Lord Snurts. He's coming for you.
He's going to get you. This is why he's not in the chat right now. Snurts.
We miss you, Snurts. Oh,
we need you. You're like 10% of the viewing audience. All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Of the live viewing audience, I should say. All right. Tom Newell Jr. says, Sam. And I would like to just respond with, Tom. Moving on.
I didn't plan for that to work out that way, but it sure did. Eric Heiding, who was just on the show, and, you know, some people say he won. I don't know. I disagree.
But all right.
Did I? You just did Tom Newell, and I got Eric Heiding here.
I have another one. All right, I'll read the other one after you read Eric.
Oh, sorry. You know what? I probably added that after the fact. Let me read the Eric That's one, fine. And then you read that one, okay? Sorry.
Yeah, okay.
The problem is the Leprechaun has 8 movies, and Sam has most of 1. And I say that because he isn't the main focus even throughout the entire movie. I think this battle could go on for a long time. However, at some point, the Leprechaun will accidentally give Sam something, and then it will be over. That's how he lost at the end of his movie. The guy didn't do it on purpose, or no, but he got out of that part. He was still in trouble, but not with Sam. The Leprechaun has too many tricks up his sleeve, and Sam probably has more things he can do, but we just don't know what they are yet.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. We definitely need 7 more movies to really flesh this out.
That's right. And I do remember now on the document you're looking at, not the one I'm looking at, I did add a late coming Facebook comment.
All right.
So there we go.
This comes to us from Dat Boy Dolo. Hey, Dat Boy. I feel this is more of an even fight than y'all think. 50-50. Well, we don't stand for 50-50 here. You have to make a choice. Get back to us next week. But no, this was
a very close one.
Yeah.
Was close. We have one more comment to read here. It's from a Forbidden Mob. We like us some Forbidden Mob. He says, Ray found a pot of gold filled with a rich who would win victory. Interesting. It was fun learning about Sam and his movie. I'll be checking it out this season for sure. There you go. Forbidden Mob. He's got you, AJ. Sam has fairly similar powers to the Leprechaun. He was wrapped well. But Ray had 8 movies of content to pull from. Sure. There's a couple of weaknesses with all that content, yet also many incredible feats, including reality warping, teleporting, mind control, and necromancy. Sam can summon zombies, but the Leprechaun brings so much more to the table. Ray wins Sam's lucky charms. Great episode. Spooktober is here. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. What an epic way to announce it.
Hashtag Spooktober.
Do not hashtag Spooktober. This is Shocktober, and I will be eternally shaming Sam for saying Spooktober on the show. We put that clip on the Instagrams if you haven't seen it. Highly recommended. I think Sam calls me a son of a bee.
Yeah, I'm surprised that I got dragged so much, and then still people sided with me on this battle. So that's saying something.
Well, literally
I guess.
Siding with me. I mean, that's how I choose to see it.
Sure, that's fair.
You can still drag Sam online, people, for saying Spooktober.
No, you can't. Nope. No,
but
can't.
Spooktober was the name of your cute avalanche deal.
Sort of. It was spookity.
Good enough.
It was the spookity Meowloween, so it had the spook there. And
it's pretty good.
We'll leave it at that.
I like spookity meow. Why aren't we calling this the spookity Meowloween?
But I think we have no cats. I mean, occasionally one.
Well, there's a cat constantly. What are you talking about? What am I hearing in my ears the whole episode? What are we talking about?
That's just Foley. I just add that in live. All right, we'll be back with more Spooktober. No, I'm just kidding. More of our Shocktober wrap-up after this break.
Hey, everybody. This is Ray from Who Would Win Masters, and I know that regardless if you're part of the Legion of Audience, Rainiacs, or even a Crit Master, you take your online privacy seriously. And if you haven't been doing that, I want to take a moment to talk to you about NordVPN, who helped sponsor this episode. I personally use NordVPN when I want to watch stuff that's streaming not in my region. That's why I got the service. I recently watched an AEW pay-per-view event that I was not able to stream here in Los Angeles. How did I do it? I used NordVPN to change my digital location. It was really easy to do, and it worked brilliantly. I wouldn't be talking about NordVPN if I didn't use it myself. Anyway, I just found out through this ad campaign that NordVPN did a collab with Marvel Comics to make a digital motion comic called The Only Certainty Is Change that features the Avengers. And I'll be honest, I thought it was some good fun. I got a big laugh when Tony Stark realized that he done messed up by connecting his Iron Man suit to a network without using a VPN. All right. I thought that was fun. Gold, honestly. But you can check out this full comic yourself no matter where you are in the world by switching your virtual location with NordVPN. We love Marvel heroes everywhere, but you can be a hero to your whole family by protecting them digitally with NordVPN. NordVPN protects your private data, passwords, and online identity from all those villains online. You know who they are. You can take advantage of the exclusive NordVPN deal right now at https://nordvpn.com/whowouldwin. Try risk-free with our 30-day money-back guarantee. You'll find the link in the description. Go check out that comic. It's a hoot.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we're back. This is a fast episode for us. We're just rolling through it. I think we've got the holiday spirit.
Well, when it's just me and you, we can go back and forth, but we talk plenty enough. You know, we got without that energy of that third person in the room.
It does
slow the show down. We're going to have a faster wrap-up today. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. People have a lot of podcasts to listen to. Let me tell you, I'm driving on my commute to work in downtown Los Angeles to my day job. And I try to listen to podcasts as we go. And that gives you so much time to do. I'm just getting the podcasts I put in early, the second week of August. And I'm finally getting to them now. That's how far behind my podcast game is. I'm going to need to take a day off of work to just listen to podcasts. And if I work with you, obviously I'm not doing that. Wink, wink. I'm right. Very sick.
It's been going around.
That's all up. I have to say.
All right.
So we're going to talk about what we're watching. Oh, I do have a thing first. Sam has replaced the rules of who would win in the battle. Have we talked about this yet? Mm-hmm. You made an original recording that was, you know, when you were first starting out.
That was
you were
fine.
Still figuring out how stuff worked. It was fine, but I knew that you could do better. And we now have your WWE promo enhanced who would win rule set. And I think it's great. And have the people at home notice the difference. Y'all notice when we didn't have Sam say, I'll be right back before the Sam Decision song. Did you notice the new rules in there? That's what I want to know. Should we have bothered? I don't know.
Right. I mean, we should have, because every time I heard it, I was like, oh.
Well, the problem was you started, you said the first rule without saying rule number one, and then you said, like, rule number two. Go back and listen. He skips saying rule number one. If you thought the Sam's Decision preamble not being there bothered you, that killed me every time I heard it.
I'm going to do a third one. It'll be like number one, B, an Excelsior.
Ampersand. Oh my gosh, what's even happening right
now? Fifth rule.
We're
going to
talk about what
Morse
we're watching.
Code. All right.
Yeah, dot, dot, dash. Boy. we're going to talk about what we're watching. I'm watching horror movies, and I love this. I don't think I've talked about it on the wrap-up. Have I talked about it on the wrap-up? I know. And we got other Shocktober matches coming. But I watch scary movies, and I like scary movies. And one thing that I did here, if I could just find my list. Of course I can't. No. I watched 12 scary movies over the course of October of last year. That was sort of like my big thing. And so I just wanted to rattle off the 12 movies. I don't think I've done that on the wrap up yet, right?
Okay. Yeah, no, I don't
so
think
we
so.
Got a minute. We're running short. I'm just going to read the 12. This is what I watched. My goal with this is either watch a horror movie that either I've never seen before or a horror movie I haven't seen in a very long time and barely remember. So keep that in mind as I'm reading down this list, okay? So first off, Five Nights at Freddy's I watched last year. Did not care for it as much as I did Willy's Wonderland with Nicolas Cage. I think that's the superior battling animatronics in a pizza parlor movie. And yes, there are multiples.
Wow.
But there it is. You know what? Five Nights at Freddy's was okay, but it's a movie that has less to do with fighting animatronic baddies as it does a custody battle. And I think that's where my first problem came from the movie.
Okay.
Not great. Not great, Bob. So, second movie, Phantasm. Very classic movie from the 1970s.
Yep.
That's a very good movie. Then I saw Drag Me to Hell, a Sam Raimi movie I'd never seen before. And it was excellent. Very, very good. One of the best movies on this list, I think. Then I watched Jeepers Creepers and Jeepers Creepers 2. That was to do a Who Would Win episode with the Creeper, if I remember correctly, or a potential episode. Mm-hmm. Who even knows anymore? Right. Those are okay. Those are fine. You know, the person who made it is kind of not a good person. And if you can get over that for 90 minutes, they're good enough movies, I guess. I watched The Burbs, which I do classify as a horror movie, even though it's a comedy.
Sure.
I watched The Burbs, which I'd never seen before all the way through.
Wow.
And then I saw a movie called Trick or Treat, ladies and gentlemen. I saw it for the first time last year. So I was well on board for this. Then Deer Camp 86. Deer Camp 86 came as a recommendation from my own sister, a great artist, Kellyanne Stakanis. You can look up her art online and please buy her stuff. She needs the money, I say lovingly. Deer Camp 86 was made in Michigan, in Western Michigan, not very far from where my grandparents' family farm was located. And so it's in farm country of Western Michigan, and they filmed a low-budget horror movie about like a forest spirit, if I remember right. Deer Camp 86 had a couple themes I didn't love, but overall, a lot of heart in that movie because it was made for very little. Then we get to some interesting ones. Not that those aren't. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Sam, I know you've seen that
one. Oh, so good. That's a great one. Yeah. I loved it.
Tucker, that's a movie that turns the whole horror genre on its head by going from the point of view of the quote-unquote two hillbilly killers as everything around them is happening accidentally and by happenstance and typically because the victims make bad choices and kill themselves.
Yes. Oh, it's so
very,
well
very funny movie. It is legitimately a horror film, but it is also a comedy. I loved it.
Yeah.
Then I saw the original Terrifier. That's a very popular movie. I don't think I'm into wanting to see parts two and three, but part one kind of keeps it close to the vest and doesn't go quite as gratuitous. I mean, not that it isn't somewhat gratuitous, but I was glad to have seen it. And I don't know if I'm on board for sort of that level of what I know is in the sequels. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. Made sense to me.
Yeah.
And then the last two, One Cut of the Dead. If you're going to watch one horror movie that's going to bamboozle you and then you're going to find it delightful, and by the end you'll be cheering. One Cut of the Dead. It's a Korean movie that I don't want to say too much about other than the general premise is people are shooting a low-budget zombie movie when a zombie movie breaks out.
Nice.
Or when a zombie...
Zombie apocalypse breaks out.
Now, that's basically what you need to know going into the movie, but it is so much more than that and so much not that, but also so much absolutely that. About halfway through the movie, I went, I don't like this. I don't know. It's broken up into three parts. After part one, I say, this is wasting my time. It's funny enough, but it's not that good. And then the middle half happened and I felt very confused. Very deeply confused. I didn't understand what I was seeing until finally it clicked. And then the final third of the movie, or the third half, as I would call it today, I was loving it. I was just giggling and joyful. And by the end moment, I was cheering. And I can't really explain it better than that. I saw it on, I want to say Tubi. It's Tubi or Shudder, but I don't remember. It's on one of those, probably Tubi. One Cut of the Dead. Very, very enjoyable movie. Highly recommended to everybody. But go in with an open mind and see it through. That's what I would say. The last movie was called Mortuary Massacre. The less said about that, the better. That was bankrolled by a friend of mine. It's a no-budget movie. And he gave me the DVD a few years ago, and I have to admit I never watched it. And he's a high school friend and a beautiful man. And I just had to watch it. And it's a movie that really loves the concept of people eating other people's faces for some reason, because they do it like three times in this anthology movie of sorts. That's basically everything you think your friends in high school would have put together. No budget, very little sense to be made of it. It's a bunch of vignettes that don't quite work together. It's delightful, but no one should ever see it. I saw it out of friendship. And that's the reason for the season.
Cool. Now I'm going to have to check out I padded the show. The Dead. Yeah.
So I'm watching a few. I'm not going to talk about it right now. At the end of the month, maybe we'll revisit and I'll tell you what movies I'm watching for this run of the season. But I've had a good time with it. I very much enjoyed it.
Nice. Yeah, I love zombie movies, so I definitely need to check out the One Cut of the Dead. I feel like I've heard of it, but I have not seen that one for sure.
Fill the gap. It's a movie I'd love to talk about after you've seen it.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Well, what have you been watching?
I haven't watched anything, a lot of anything just recently. We saw one movie that was a Marky Mark Wahlberg movie there, and it wasn't great. So I don't even want to promote it. Was it
Fear?
No, it was a recent. It's on Netflix now. I think it's Netflix. It's I want to say it's like it had such a generic name. I can't even remember it. And it was just like generic action movie, and it was just almost all action. It's just him, and he's kind of like it's like a heist thing. And there's so many just not exactly plot holes, but like decision holes of like, yeah, but why would you actually do that? So I'm not even going to get into it. You know,
no, that's right. It'd be funny if they had just named it The Heist Thing, because I would probably be interested if they did.
Yeah, that would be better. But, you know, we've been watching a lot of things that are like on the week to week right now, like Only Murders in the Building and The Morning Show and High Potential, just catching up on all of those. And our kids watched the entire first season of Wednesday, and we just started the second season. So that's the big Halloween thing that we're kind of watching as a family. And I really love that show. I think it's just so well done.
I've never seen it, but I've heard so many good things. I feel like I should try.
It's really good time. Yeah.
Well, I made a choice a few weeks ago I'm going to do a rewatch of The Sopranos. YouTube has been shoving The Sopranos shorts into my feed for like 3 months now, and I've been watching them like like I'm like their video popcorn. I just keep popping one after another after another. And I'm like, I remember really liking this show. I wonder how it's holding up. I just finished season one and it's very much a television show. It's very good. Sure. There is very interesting things. It is funny watching it like 25 years later from when it first came out with kind of fresh eyes. And that pilot of The Sopranos is, it's just a pilot, ASS. It's a pilot. I can say that on this show, right? It's one of those. Sure. It is one of the best definitions of a TV show pilot you will ever see. It's asking a bunch of questions, not really answering them, introducing characters. I mean, it's a pilot, but like some pilots do it well and some pilots do it poorly. And I would say The Sopranos pilot did it very, very well. It's just so almost paint by numbers, looking at it in hindsight, for how you write a pilot. So all of you aspiring writers out there, I would highly suggest, if you haven't watched it even in a while, rewatch The Sopranos season one, episode one pilot, because that is how you do it. And I learned something about writing pilots just from watching it. Not that I'm writing pilots, but if I was going to, it would help. And season one's great. Like, a lot of interesting things happen. It's a lot of fun. There is a lot of filler episodes in the middle that I did not remember.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes. It's a TV show. That's how it goes when you have to do 13 episodes or 24 or whatever it is. You're going to get a little filler in there. And right in the middle, right after he takes Meadow on the college trip, if you remember this, and he kills the guy who like ratted on his crew who was like up in Maine. Then there's like three or four episodes in a row of just pure filler. And it's so disappointing.
He's just going to thrift stores, being like, I don't know. I could probably wear a fedora.
He's like, I don't know. I'm a gangster. It's crazy. Anyway, though, I did enjoy it. I'm going to start season two pretty soon and go from there. It's a good time.
Nice. Cool, cool. All right. Yeah, the only other thing I have, and I think I may have talked about this in the past. I don't remember, but it is somewhat Halloween related, so I thought I would bring it back up. This is another kind of week-to-week thing, and it's something I'm not watching but listening to. It is the Dungeons and Daddies Season 3 podcast, which is an actual play, and they are currently doing a Call of Cthulhu storyline. So it all takes place in Peachyville, which is a, 1950s, there you go, Cthulhu shirt, like a 1950s suburban, you know, area, and then chaos ensues. And it's awesome. Like, you know, it's Freddie Wong and his crew and Beth May and all of them. And it's a lot of fun to listen to them have fun together creating this world and going along this weird ass mission.
That's great. No, it's fun. I do have one more. I went to go see a movie in theaters and it was not the Taylor Swift movie. My kid got sick, unfortunately, so I had to miss that. But I went with TV's Gina Ippolito, star of the new Rockstars channel. We went and we saw The Strangers Chapter 2, the sequel to the aptly named Strangers Chapter 1, which we saw together last year. Now it's a tradition. We have to see all of them.
Nice.
And I didn't think it was a very good movie.
Yeah.
I know that's going to come as a shock that the chapter two version of the Strangers remake might not be good. But the thing to know about it is the people who made that movie really loved backstory, which is weird because the whole thing that makes the Strangers scary is you don't know anything about them.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Huh. And if you... If you didn't think there was a giant pig that would attack somebody in the middle of that movie and be like 10 minutes of that movie, you'd be wrong because a giant pig attacks one of the characters in that movie and it lasts an aggressively long time. And then you get backstory for the pig.
For the pig? Oh, no.
For the pig. That's right. You get backstory for the pig. Strangers Chapter 2.
Flashback to when it was a piglet and it's in a petting zoo and it's like somebody's petting it from tail to head and he's like, that's the wrong way.
You're kind of wrong. You're mostly correct.
Oh my God.
It is. I mean, look, as an experiment, it's worth seeing, but like, I'm glad I went to go see it in theaters. No jumps. The first one made me jump half dozen times.
Yeah.
When I watch a horror movie, I get into it. I don't pretend like I'm not so tough. I don't jump. I ain't scared. I let myself be involved in the moment. When they do a good job, I'll jump and I'll shout and I'll laugh afterwards at how ridiculous I am. And it'll be a lot of fun, right? I like to have fun at these things. I did not jump or scream or anything a single time in Strangers Chapter 2. I did mostly laughing at how absurd some of the things that were happening on screen were. That's not a good sign for your horror movie.
No, no, that's not what you want.
Renny Harlin, you're welcome to come on the show and debate me, but you got to do it with one of your characters. Perhaps it could be the giant pig from Strangers Chapter 2.
What would he fight against? Would you set the giant pig up against?
Well, it didn't take much to kill him in this one, so I don't know.
So Wilbur, just a different pig.
Maybe, maybe
but
Mr.
with Charlotte. Yeah.
Charlotte and Wilbur, I'll take that.
Yeah, tag team. All right.
Anyway, that was Mike's wonderful experience. More about that a little bit later, I'll just say. A little teaser for the end of the show.
Okay. Oh, all right. Cool. All right. Do we have some kind of movie night thing happening?
We do. We have a movie night coming up. First off, I want to talk about Patreon. We have had a few new patrons come on Patreon, and I appreciate every single one of you. I try to put some stuff on there, give you plenty to do. Any pictures I could have from my day job that I'm allowed to share, I will share them. And if you don't know where that is, just check out our Patreon, because you should be able to figure it out somewhat quickly. It's a very exciting place to be these days. My movie watch event, we're going to be doing these once a month. We're absolutely going to watch scary movies. Last time we watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space and had an absolute blast doing it. A really, really good time. I believe Delvin Cox was there. And cool. Was it Lord Snurts that was there? I believe so. And we all sort of got on and we were hanging out and watching the movie. I want to do another horror movie. I want to share one of the space movies, either Leprechaun 4, Critters 4. Okay. We could watch Jason X, or maybe even the Hellraiser in space movie, but no one's going to pick that. You, the people, ultimately will decide. And we're going to do it in probably a couple of Fridays since you hear this. Right now, I'm currently shooting at doing it Friday, October 24th in the evening. Okay. So keep that day free in advance. Put it on your calendars right now. And if you aren't a member of our Patreon, if you are the $1 tier of Patreon, you'll get the link. You can come join us for movie night, hang out, be in our audience, watch the movie. We read your comments. We have a blast with it, and just be silly on a Friday night. So we're looking at October 24th doing that. I'm pretty sure that's open in my calendar as I check right now. Yeah, it's open right now. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to put that on the board right now. Join the Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. And we can watch scary movie together, have some laughs. And I thought it was a blast every time we've done it. We've watched the movie Shocker by Wes Craven, which is one of the most bat poop crazy movies you'll ever see. No one appreciates how insane that movie is. The people seeing it, who were seeing it for the first time when we watched it, were like, I had no idea this was this crazy. And it is. And then we watched Killer Clowns from Outer Space, as I said before. Nice. Wonderful movie. One of my favorite all-time silly horror movies. Gotta love it.
Awesome. All right. And go join us on Patreon at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. So you can join us for the movie nights, for these wrap-up episodes, and all the other good stuff. We want to see see more people in this chat. Otherwise, it's just me and Ray talking to ourselves. And not even to each other, just ourselves.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
No, I just talk to myself, and every so often, Sam interjects. That's the show.
Hey, I'm still here.
Monologuing, and we've talked about this before. I get monologuing, and I can't help myself. I have a lot to say, which is weird because I talk all the time. How do I still have more things to say? I must think I'm very wise, but hashtag Ray is right.
All right. Ray, I think it's almost time for us to get out of here, but do you want to let everyone know about the next?
Do you want to talk about what next week's episode is going to be?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the second
of our
three.
I'm very excited for this one.
Me too. This is going to be great. It's the second of our three Shocktober episodes. What do we have, Ray?
Well, we're looking at the second Shocktober episode. We're going to have Buffy the Vampire Slayer versus Jason Voorhees from the Friday the 13th movies.
Nice.
With special guest debater, the aforementioned new rock star's own TV's Gina Ippolito. So Gina, also from Knowing It's Half the Podcast, is willing to come on the show and come on multiple podcasts with me. That's crazy if you think about it. And we are going to have a very spirited debate with Buffy versus Jason. I know at home you all are home being like, ooh, who does win that one? Well, you're going to have to wait 1 week, but we will be doing it for you there. And it's going to be a real slobber knocker of an episode. because me and Gina are both very competitive and we both like to win and we both
and
knew
both
our
talk
characters.
A lot. Oh,
true.
Yeah, that too.
But
so
we both
know these characters.
We both know our characters like very, very, very well. Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be
great.
It's going
to be a really good one. So check out that one.
Yeah. All right, gang. Thank you for listening. And absolutely make sure you're following us on our social media and our Patreon. Join us at Facebook and Threads and patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join us next week to hear this awesome battle of Buffy versus Jason. And if you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1-minute video demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. And who knows, maybe we'll see you in the Challenger's chair in the future. For Who Would Win Masters, this is Sam Proof. Stay strong.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.